Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? What? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clipper and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's hook you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. He who had injury, he who had.
King Derek the Fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Tua Valoa. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio, 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper, the official title. Lon Tay, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. Jay Layman on yesterday, the Jay Layman Hour. That was all we had. So we didn't talk any NBA. Well, or NBA. What was that? Where'd that come from?
NFL.
NFL, thank you. We did not talk any NFL, including the
Bears.
We
didn't talk any NBA either.
No, we didn't.
For the record.
Speaking of that, nor did we talk Major League Baseball. We're going to chat a little bit about that today as well. Illinois football, of course, Maryland, 3 days away. Friday night, of course, 8 p.m. kickoff at Memorial Stadium. Maryland comes in. I heard Brett Bielema, of course, had his press conference. We'll play a little bit of that as we go along this week. But today and tomorrow, two short shows, essentially, because the Cardinals, of course, on the East Coast playing the Mets. So that is an early start tonight. So we will be off basically after an hour today. So 1 hour show for Derek and I. We're going to hold probably Illini football chatter until tomorrow and then kind of gear up for that Thursday. And then we want to remind everybody that I know pregame is all about the fun of Illinois football and Illinois basketball, for that matter. Well, this almost feels like a basketball pregame. Like, we'll be at Pia's from 4 to 6. You could come there, and then you could head to the tailgate lots and get ready for the game that kicks off at 8 o'clock. So don't forget to join us at Pia's this Friday.
Absolutely. Some people might want us to turn it into a basketball pregame.
Right.
Which we might talk some hoops and progressively a little bit more if things don't get turned around. But we're hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully it's a good game for those of us included, that will be in the stands on Friday night.
No doubt.
So
you
come hang out with us.
Yeah.
And maybe... Illini football makes you want to drink some things. Well, Captain Morgan's on special, Dos Equis on special, and eat a big Bielema before you get to the stadium.
That's your base.
There you go.
That is your base for Friday night. So, speaking of Captain Morgan, I had a Captain Morgan at Pia's the last time. I had
you
one.
Did?
And yeah, I did. And I haven't had a Captain Morgan in a long time. I told you I'm talking 30 years ago now. That was kind of my drink back in the day, besides beer. Like, when we were in college, every once in a while, we'd switch, and we would go up. Like, when you're a senior, you get special. Like, you know the bartenders, right? Because you've been there in school with them for 4 years, and here are these sophomores and juniors are in the way in line at the bar. And we'd go to Sticks, my place, and I would be about four or five deep, and one of the bartenders would kind of see me, and I'd just give the salute. And that was the captain. So by the time I got up there, she already had my captain ready to go and ready to roll. So, but when we were in Nashville, we went to a pizza place to eat, and they had a special kind of Captain Morgan. It had three different captains in it. And I'm like, whoa. So I'm like, I'll try that. And it was really good. So I don't remember what it was. I should have taken a picture of that to see if Pia's can duplicate it. I guarantee you they can. They've got some great bartenders there.
Yeah,
I was going to say, they'll give it a shot. So join us at Pia's.
Maybe a couple shots.
Well, there's three, to be exact, I think. maybe I shouldn't do that, actually, Friday, to be honest with you. But maybe when we get to the tailgate lots, we'll have some fun. But, yeah, Friday, 8 o'clock kick, but we will be at Pia's 4 to 6. I believe we have another Brett Bielema autographed football give away, of course. Sign up for that when you come and join us. We'll be outside in the tent. I am ready for fall. You'll never hear me say that. I've given in. I'm like the Nomos. You have beat me to it. The heat has finally taken its toll on me, where every day I keep thinking, like, tomorrow's supposed to be pretty. And then the next day it gets back up to 90 again. And I was on an appointment today with a client, and I'm like, I think I've finally had enough. And he's like, whoa. I mean, he's like, you're Mr. Summer.
Yeah, that's not your style.
No, it isn't. But I just, it's beating me down. I'm like, I'm ready for some fall weather to get here. And I hope it's not one of those where it's fall for about 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden it's in the 40s. And you're like, oh no, here we go. That's the only reason I like heat, because I know what's coming after fall. Can I say something about Illinois football? So you know me, I am Mr. Optimistic, right? And then I get fired up during the week, and then I get back to being optimistic again, because I just enjoy it, and I just want this team to win. I want to have success as a fan, as a program. And I told you after the UTSA game that I tricked my mind into thinking, okay, I figured Illinois would be 2-1 after 3 weeks. So in my mind, if you go beat Virginia, you'd be 2-1, and you're back to where you need to be. So yep. Now you're 1-2. You've still got games against Charlotte and Purdue coming up. Now, will you be an underdog against Purdue? Yes. Maybe against Charlotte. Hell, I don't know. I know you're the underdog.
I don't think you would in that one.
I don't think so either. So let's say you're going to beat Charlotte. Work with me here. If you're going to beat Charlotte and somehow you can muster a win against Maryland, which means your defense is going to have to play 200% better than what it did this past Saturday. So is that even physically possible? I doubt it. But if you could somehow get Maryland, and then you've got Charlotte coming, and all of a sudden, if you could win that, you'd be 3-2. Going to Purdue, which I don't know that Purdue's that much better of a team than you. Jeff Brohm's been there a while. You know, he's got a great receiver, David Bell, that'll go crazy on Illinois. But certainly, it's a team that I feel like you can compare with a little bit and give it a shot. So, I don't know. There's me again, being optimistic, just trying to figure out a way for Illinois to be back above 500 sometime before the real meat of the schedule hits.
Well, you do get Purdue before Charlotte.
Oh, that's right.
So, you're on the road at Purdue after this one.
That's right. So
as far as getting back to 500, you're probably going to want
never mind.
The game this Friday, which isn't entirely out of the realm of possibility. It's just from a matchup perspective of what Maryland does offensively and the weapons they have, it's terrifying.
This schedule, I tell you what, in terms of good quarterbacks, you played a pretty good quarterback in Adrian Martinez, who is a great quarterback when he plays Illinois. Then you played a good, solid quarterback in Frank Harris. Your boy,
Brennan Armstrong
was either as good as Jalen Hurts or Kyler Murray. I can't figure out which. I don't know which one of those three had the better weekend. And he was really good. And now you've got the younger Tua, who is seemingly really good. He's come out of the gate strong. So, and then Purdue, you know,
Jack Plummer.
So, But, you know, you've got an offensive guy over there in Brohm, but... You know, this is like every week you've faced a good quarterback. And like Jay said yesterday, you haven't really had your starting quarterback. You will this week against Maryland. Let's see how much of a difference it makes. Can Brandon Peters make that much of a difference for Illinois in your mind?
That's a good question.
In other words, is Brandon Peters playing good football that much better than what Art Sitkowski has done so far? 59% completion, a few touchdowns. Has he thrown a pick yet? I know he's thrown a few that should have been picked, but I don't think technically he's thrown an interception, has he? Did he do that
against Virginia?
I don't know. That was all a blur after a while. So I was just knee-deep in wings and not really worrying about it anymore.
Should have been.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that would be my question, and I don't know that anybody can give you a definitive answer until we see Brandon Peters in person again on Friday night. But I guess the hope for Illinois is, while Art Sitkowski certainly wasn't horrible, there's been worse backups, I can promise you that. I don't know that Brandon Peters is light years better than Art Sitkowski, and that's not good news for Illinois. Now, maybe he could be.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that take. Art did throw one interception against Virginia. His final stat line was 24 of 45, 221, one touchdown, one pick. Okay.
I'm trying to think, when was the pick? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
I think in the that's how bad it was that he threw an interception. Oh, and Trevor's already typed it up here. Thank you, Trevor. I didn't look at it. He threw a pick in a game in which, like, the interception wasn't even that big of a deal to me. That's how bad that game was, where you're just like, ah, well, it's an interception.
It was already 35-14 by the time he had thrown it. And
yeah, you were pretty much done.
Yeah.
You were pretty much done. Yeah, so I don't know.
I think that your point on is Brandon Peters' ceiling so much higher than Art Sitkowski's, and I would say probably not. Now, I think that when Brandon has played really well, we've seen it obviously works offensively. I think back to the Michigan State game once Illinois was in a huge hole in what how Brandon was playing, pushing the ball in the field. I think that Sitkowski's done that very occasionally. I don't know if it's been game plan or just the fact of not feeling comfortable enough to take those shots down the field. We haven't seen that here recently. One thing I would say with Brandon, and you would hope for a guy that is as experienced as he is, knowing where to go with the football. Because I think that, as Jay's talked about, Art hasn't, here recently especially, looked like someone that can go through his progressions, read a defense, say, okay, my one option's not open. Where do I go with the football now? He maybe gets a little antsy, pats the ball in the pocket, and holds on to it too long, which in the past we've said sometimes with Brandon Peters that he holds on to the ball too long.
No doubt.
I think optimistically you're still sitting there and saying, look, Brandon was out of camp. Not that you really had a big feeling that Art was going to win the job.
No.
That it was clear that Brandon was your quarterback, so that should give you a boost. How big is that boost?
We'll see.
We'll see. And still, I know that the depressing or just the feeling on the Illini fan side is, well, Brandon could be that boost that we need offensively.
However,
and he does not play safety, and he does not play corner, and he all of that with what's going on with the Illini defense.
Yeah, and that's some truth to that. All right, we've upset Ben, who texted in on the U of I Illini Link text line and said, and now you're talking football after you said you wouldn't. Bye. So Ben has left the program. Now, Ben, if you're still listening, I want to apologize, and I want to do you a favor. Ben, if you're still listening, you text in what you want us to talk about, and after the next break, we will talk all about it. I don't care what it is.
Wow, what an offer.
Yeah, I'm feeling good today. So I'll do that. I'll reach out, and we'll heal together here. So, Ben, shoot it in.
Now you're going to transition to talking Cardinals and Adam Wainwright, and then the Cubs fans are going to text in and be like, are you serious?
You're right. You're right. I know we can't, we don't do anything right anymore. When Illinois basketball is winning, we do it right. We talk a lot.
Everybody's usually pretty happy.
Everybody wants to hear Illinois basketball. Right now, we don't have a lot to good to talk about. I mean, the Cubs are horrible. The Cardinals are certainly hanging in there, and we'll chat about that. Illinois football looks like it's going down the same path we've gone down in a lot of years. Bears football is kind of Bears football. I mean, is there
was a great football game on last night, or at least a wild football game. I know you didn't
get a chance to see it.
But it was pretty just epically. It was weird.
What happened at the end?
It was entertaining.
Yes.
But there was so much bad in it that it was just kind of funny.
Oh.
Like where the Raiders, I think it was in overtime where the Raiders get the ball on the, they get it down to the 1 yard line. They think they score the walk off touchdown.
Oh.
And they're on the field, like, shaking hands and everything, and it goes to review, and his knee was down, Brian Edwards, as he reaches out for the pylon.
Oh, no!
They don't get it in. They try Derek Carr to sneak. Second down, they go hard count, and their offensive line false starts. Ultimately, Carr ends up winging a pick in the end zone.
Oh, my.
So it's like, okay, that's so Raiders, and it's going to be devastating for their home opener, where that stadium was epically...
Was rocking?
Awesome,
Allegiant, baby.
But Lamar Jackson fumbled for his second time late in the game, gave the Raiders a chance. They end up walking it off with a touchdown.
With a touchdown, right? Yep. Okay, and the Raiders win. That's a big win.
The swings of that game was were pretty crazy. And if you didn't, I know you didn't, but if you didn't see the Peyton and Eli broadcast on ESPN2.
I cannot wait to watch that.
I thought it was really good.
What was the clip? I didn't get to hear it. I had meetings early today. I've been in a meeting all day. There was Peyton Manning wearing a Ravens helmet like it was way up on his head.
He couldn't fit it on his head.
Is that what it was? I didn't know.
Just a uniquely sized forehead and just overall dome in general.
Did you see his bust for the Hall of Fame?
No.
His forehead, I swear, is like 7 or 8 inches. You'll have to Google image it and see if they've got it. It is almost like hilarious. Where you, if I were Peyton, I'd be like, "Is that how bad it is?"
They should have had the helmet imprint on it because that was all we, just the big red square across the forehead.
Jake says, "Hi, Ben here. I'd really like to talk about the inordinate amount of short shorts on campus today." That's terrible, Jake. That's terrible. That was not Ben, by the way. So it was worth listening to, Peyton.
It was, and it brings up the conversation, do you need a play-by-play guy? I think in moments, like I think about big plays,
yeah,
big touchdowns, the walk-off home run. I think that that call by the play-by-play guy is always something I really like.
Yes.
And also you could tell transitioning into commercials and everything was something that they weren't experienced in doing,
mm-hmm.
That a play-by-play guy is better at. But in general, just them sitting there talking football. Like you had at one point Peyton Manning, Eli, and Ray Lewis on for like a whole quarter. They brought in Russell Wilson for the fourth quarter.
Nice.
And just hearing those guys, number one, just talk ball, also with Ray and Peyton kind of going back and forth about their playing days. That was pretty cool because you got two of the best ever at their positions.
Unbelievable. And Eli's so dry.
He is, and a little bit more reserved.
Yeah. But is he kind of funny in that role? Can he be kind of funny in that dry role?
He can jab Peyton a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I think Peyton is just teasing everybody because everyone wants to see him in the booth. Like, wondering, and we've seen reports of what ESPN was trying to offer him to take that job because it's not been a great broadcast for a while.
No.
But if there is this, even just this option where Peyton can sit in a studio if he doesn't want to travel and be that alternative broadcast, I think that those that watched it, the reviews were very, very positive.
That would be cool to get Peyton Manning. So, I've got to see that. I have to go. There's got to be a way probably to go back and rewatch that, I would assume. I'll have to set the DVR for that next week because I want to definitely. They're going to do that every Monday?
I hope so.
Okay. I saw a lot of people tweeting about it early this morning saying that was priceless and it was worth every second. So, I'll definitely have to do that. I'd say if you're the main play-by-play and color guy for ESPN, you're like, oh no, nobody's listening to us. Probably. Now, is it kind of a split screen, I assume? So if it's the Cardinals on Monday Night Football, I'm not going to watch Peyton and Eli in split screen.
It's a split.
Okay, any other game,
not
maybe.
Like 50-50. It's more like 90-10 of the game, and then just their faces in like two different boxes. Like right next to the regular broadcast.
That'd be awesome. All right, I'll have to get on that. All right, there's another guy that one day, and I hope it's a while, one day is going to be awesome in the broadcast booth. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this guy, which means we're going to talk a little baseball. Does that work? If you want to weigh in, 359.
It does for Ben. It works for me.
Well, right. Ben did leave. He has not texted back. 359-2255, 217-359-2255. That's the U of I Line and Lake text line. If you want to call us, you can on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Same number, 217-359-2255. You can find us on Twitter. It's at The Drive, 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPN. See you.
I'm at D Piper, 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
It is The Drive.
Why do people go to PDR Automotive in Urbana? Because they take care of people like you. Angie dropped off her car to get her brakes evaluated. After a serious problem was discovered, they quoted her $2,100 that she would need to fix the problem.
I couldn't afford it, and I told them I better settle up and hope things don't get worse. PDR found a used part, sent off for it, and kept the bill at the original price. Who does that? I can't stop talking about them and have recommended them to people already. They are my new mechanic.
PDR Automotive on Cunningham in Urbana. You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do. Clean.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
Fighting Illini football is right around the corner. Get down to the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit, to gear up for your return to Memorial Stadium this fall. With their great selection of football designs and tailgate necessities, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for Illinois football fans. Visit one of their convenient locations at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, or online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Did you know that the largest security monitoring company in our area has been sold? You will if you try to give them a call.
All of our representatives are currently busy.
When it comes to your home security and peace of mind, the last thing anyone wants to hear is...
The estimated hold time is 96 minutes.
Don't be left on hold. Trust the local and family-owned company who have been doing this for almost 50 years. Trust Barcom. Give them a call at 217-679-2387. They'll actually...
Barcom Security.
Answer the phone. Barcom Security. Have a secure day.
I bought a new gas range and dishwasher. This box store said they install, but just dropped them in my kitchen saying, I need a plumber.
Well, Mrs. Customer got herself in a pickle again. Going to the old lumber yard, thinking that's where appliances come home ready to use.
They just showed up, dropped them off, and left.
No doubt they took your money and skedaddled out of the county. Service after the sale isn't something that happens often these days.
Mr. Narrator Guy, where do you go?
Much obliged you asked. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, they do things different. Hook up to gas and water. Shoot, they'll even convert natural gas to propane for the country folk.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Sounds like they'll fix me right up.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World's Labor Day sale is going on now, all through September. GE French door refrigerators are in stock. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, when you buy from us, you get the whole store.
The Long Branch Steakhouse has been receiving rave reviews from our Stever winners. These are real comments from customers.
Our steaks were cooked perfectly, very tender and juicy. The food was incredible, delicious with every bite.
The service was top-notch. The owner personally welcomed us and checked to make sure that everything was perfect throughout the meal.
The wait staff were friendly and prompt, and the filet I ordered was to die for. The best I've ever had.
Experience the Long Branch for yourself on Main Street in beautiful downtown Gifford.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Life struggles often feel overwhelming. Anger, hurt, abuse, controlling relationships, betrayal, or fear. Just a sampling of what we call baggage. And it doesn't matter where we look, there are no answers or solutions. And we admit, we need help. Well, Muhammad Christian Church offers freedom from that baggage and a safe place to heal. Freedom groups for both men and women invite you to join our new classes beginning on Monday, September 20th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. The only cost is for the workbook. And through this study, you will discover hope, healing, and help through our friend Jesus Christ. Freedom groups, Monday, September 20th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for 13 weeks. For more information, visit MuhammadChristian.org. Come for the healing, and our friend Jesus will always be at your side.
Hey, Illini fans, it's your girl, Chinee Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. We're going to bring Trevor on. kind of whip around the NFL, give our thoughts, your guy for the Washington football team.
Gibson?
That's it.
Antonio Gibson. Way over on his receiving prop.
Yeah. And rushing.
Yeah, there you go.
Not that I would know that.
They lost Fitzy, though.
Yeah. Who's up next there?
Taylor Heinicke.
Oh, that's right. So we'll talk a little NFL. First, though, I want to talk Adam Wainwright with you. Adam Wainwright does it again. I don't even know why I'm consistently sitting here saying, man, he's just good. He's just really good this year. And he was again last night. He's now 16-7. I know to the younger generation, that means nothing because wins don't mean anything. But his ERA is under 3. Somebody I read today that if he goes 7 for 11 from the plate, the rest of the year he'll hit 200.
So right.
If he does that, I mean, just give him the MVP or the Cy Young or both. I mean, he could be Shohei. I'm kidding, of course. But Adam Wainwright does it again against the Mets in New York. Mets team that is behind you and chasing you, and this is looked at as a big series for the Mets, and then you bring in old Adam Wainwright and say, not today. And by the way, did you follow him on Twitter again and his old man walk? He walked around New York today.
I need
today.
To do that.
Who was the kid from Home Alone? Kevin, right?
McAllister.
Kevin McAllister. So on his tweet, he said, I walked around New York looking for Kevin McAllister, and I had like a Philly sandwich, or it wouldn't have been a Philly sandwich, but something. And he had like pictures from different spots that I assume Home Alone was filmed at. So
nice.
That's Adam Wainwright, man. He's cool. He's good.
And he's very good.
Let me ask you this. If the Cardinals, who are what, a half game back now of the wild card, if they were able to sneak into that wild card spot, we all know they'll then face probably, well, either the Giants or the Dodgers, which means you're probably facing, what, Gausman or Scherzer. Is that right?
Whether they go Scherzer or Buehler, but Scherzer hasn't lost a start for them. I think he has 6 starts and he's 6-0.
And dominated the Cardinals. What, 13 strikeouts that game against the Cardinals? I mean, he was unbelievable.
8 starts, 6-0, 0.88 ERA for Scherzer since he's been a Dodger.
So if you're the Cardinals, you start Waino in that game, I would assume, unless you have to use him, let's say, the last game of the year or leading up to it just to get to that game. That's understood. None of us know what's going to happen there. I mean, how much faith, but the way Adam Wainwright's pitching, how much faith do you put in the Cardinals maybe winning that game? You're going to be underdogs in that game, and I'm going into that game probably not expecting the Cardinals to win that. But with Adam Wainwright on the hill, that's got to give you more faith that you'd at least have a shot. He's kept you in every game.
Yeah, you would definitely have some kind of hope, and right. That's all that you would really want going into a postseason. And just to get to the postseason, I know that it's easy, especially with the expanded playoffs, and I experienced it as a Bears fan last year where yes. We got in and went to New Orleans thanks to you guys losing. We're like, all right, are we really a playoff team? We're just going to get blasted, and yet we did. So you think and look at the Dodgers record, and they're like 17 games up on the next wild card spot. But honestly, with the way that Waino has been pitching here ever since the All-Star break and what he's doing this season, why wouldn't you just feel a little hopeful of throwing that guy out there and wanting that moment for him?
Right.
Like at 39 and for as well as he's pitched, just to give him a chance.
40, sir.
Is he 40 now?
He's 40 now.
He just turned 40. Oh, yeah. Man.
Give your elders their due respect, you know?
Absolutely.
No, I'm with you. And in that situation, I know that this second wild card has been good for baseball. It has been good for a fan base. It's keeping a lot of teams, a lot of fans like us, you and I, intrigued. Because if you didn't have the fifth wild card spot, baseball would essentially be done in the National League. Everything would be pretty much, except the dogfight for the West. Everything else, and maybe East a little bit, but I mean, everything else is pretty much done.
But the Padres would be done.
Yeah,
they'd be cooked.
Be out.
The Reds. The Cardinals, the Phillies, the Mets are still.
I mean, look at all those. You're talking huge fan bases. New York, Philadelphia. You're talking huge fan bases that still now have a reason to watch baseball, albeit it might just be a one and done and you're out. The only thing I don't like about that fifth wild card, and I'd like it this year, because if the Cardinals make it, then all you got to do is win one game. And even though you probably don't deserve to be the wild card team in the playoffs, well, you won that one game. But if you were a team like the Dodgers, and let's say they are the ones hosting that game, and you are 15 games ahead of the next team, and then you accidentally lose that team. I mean, baseball, we bet baseball all the time. Baseball is one of the hardest sports to bet because in football, when the one team that's supposed to win normally does win, even though week one of the NFL is a little weird, and we're going to get to that. But in baseball, you know, it's not guaranteed. Even if you have such an elite pitcher throwing, I mean, your chances are a lot better. So I can't imagine. Like, I'm glad the roles would be like they are this year, where if the Cardinals make it, I'm the team that really has nothing to lose. It's like, well, we don't deserve to be here anyway, probably. So if we win, we win. If we lose, eh. But if you were the Dodgers and you lost that game, you'd be like, oh my gosh, we just did all of that work for nothing.
I know. And right now it's 16.5. They're up on the Reds by 16.5 games.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing. But it's hard for me not to think when you talk about potentially, and you said Scherzer, and it's right, because based on the numbers that he's putting up, why wouldn't you throw him out there?
Agree.
Waino versus Scherzer kind of gives me Carpenter versus Halliday vibes, like with one game on the line.
Yes.
And not that as Cardinals fans we'd sit there and say, hey, we win that game like in – The year's escaping me.
Was it 11?
Yeah. That you'd go on and win the World Series, right. But that kind of a pitching matchup. And look, I mean, Waino since the break is 9-2. His ERA is 2.02. And we said it, like the Cardinals have won, I think now, 11 of his last 12 starts.
It's incredible. So you never know. It's doable. It's doable. But you got to get there. The Reds have a pretty nice schedule. And it's not their fault. You all pretty much play the same, right? So they've got the nicer schedule down the stretch. Cardinals,
the Pirates,
Pirates like 7 times or something. The Cardinals have to play the Brewers, I think, 7 times. So that's not good. I think both teams play the Cubs.
The Padres this weekend.
Padres have a really hard schedule. So that won't be as easy for the Padres. I think this could come down to a Cardinals-Reds. And right now it looks like the Reds have the better. Dan Hartlett, by the way, last night texted me a Bengals-Reds flag or whatever. I'm like, did the Bengals win?
They beat the Vikings.
That's right. So
they go to Chicago this week to take on my Bears.
So I get that text last night from Dan. I'm like, oh, come on, coach. Trevor, you ready?
Are you going to play music?
Oh.
This will fire you up if you're having a bad day. The National Football League.
What's the Thursday night game this week?
Giants.
Yeah.
WTF.
Oh.
Speaking of firing you up, that will not.
Let's stop all momentum in the NFL with a Thursday night Washington Giants game.
The funniest part about early primetime matchups being bad is that you really have no excuse for even saying, like, we thought these teams would be good.
No.
Yep. Like, I think last year it was, like, Jaguars-Dolphins week 2 for Thursday Night Football, and it's like, it's not even like it's week 9 and the Titans are surprisingly bad and maybe the matchup accidentally stinks.
Exactly.
This matchup just purposefully stinks, so I'm not sure. But we're not going to talk about that.
Big fan bases, big TV markets.
We will stick, however, with the NFC East.
Okay.
And start out with the Eagles, who were +3.5 going into the game, just thomping the Falcons 32-6.
I think this speaks a lot for how bad the Falcons are. It speaks a lot for Jalen Hurts is really coming into his own right now, and it's going to be fun to watch him excel. And I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those deals where good for Austin Berkeley and Harry Black, our friends. Good for them as Eagles fans. I think Philadelphia should have won this game. I didn't expect it to be this easy, but is Atlanta just that bad?
It seems that way. We knew their defense was bad. I didn't expect them to only put up 6 points, especially on an Eagles defense that's they're not very good.
What'd my boy do, Pitts?
Kyle Pitts had 4 catches for 31 yards.
Oh, that's got to change.
Definitely. It definitely does. Ryan only threw for 164, no touchdowns. And this is a team that I know with his contract situation, they didn't want to go out and draft a quarterback. But there were some people saying Justin Fields makes a lot of sense as the hometown.
I agree.
Bring him back to Georgia. But that didn't happen. Jalen Hurts played great in this game.
He did.
And for a guy that saw their organization trade for Gardner Minshew right before the season, you're like, okay, you really trusting me or not? He threw for 3 touchdowns. Obviously, hurt the Falcons on the ground as well because that's part of his game. So that was impressive.
Is 300 yards and 3 touchdowns even that impressive anymore in the NFL? Or is that more of a...
Not as much as it used to be.
Average day, he threw for 311 and 3 touchdowns.
He was good, and Devontae Smith had a really nice debut with 71 yards and a touchdown.
Nice. Okay. Well, I think Atlanta's just... I mean, they're paying Matt Ryan like $40 million. And you know what? They got a lot of wins out of Matt Ryan. It's just that's what contracts do. They can help you for a while, but you just know, and every team goes through them, unless you're the Tampa Rays, which right. You pretty much just get rid of the guys before you have to pay them. Other than the Rays... You pretty much are just burdened with long... I mean, the Cardinals are going through right now, St. Louis, with a couple of contracts. Dexter Fowler, not even on the team. Matt Carpenter hasn't had a hit in a month. But it's just
been that long.
Yeah. But Matt Ryan, I mean, as you know, he led you to a Super Bowl. You probably should have won the game. And if you would have won the Super Bowl, then any amount of money you gave Matt Ryan was worth it.
That's right.
In my mind.
Should just try to trade him to the Bears. Like, hey, they traded for, or they got Mike Glennon. They got Nick Foles.
The neck.
Just take their draft pick, give them Matt Ryan,
yeah.
And we'll take Justin Fields.
Let's see what he can do.
No.
Oh, boy.
You guys mentioned the Bengals. They won in overtime, 27-24 over the Vikings, who looked like they were driving for the game-winning field goal, and then Dalvin Cook fumbled.
Oh.
And Joe Burrow connects with his former teammate and now teammate Ja'Marr Chase on a touchdown, and the Bengals win in overtime.
I just forgot his name again. Joe Burrow has legitimized the Cincinnati Bengals. Before he got hurt last year, he was playing good football. And the Bengals, while they're still the Bengals were actually fun to watch. They had T. Higgins catching a lot of passes, Tyler Boyd. I mean, I enjoyed watching that team and enjoyed watching Joe Burrow. I was sickened with the news that he had gone down with the ACL or whatever that was. But he's back, and it sounds like hopefully the Bengals' offensive line can be a little bit better to where he's not terrorized every week. I just feel like Joe Burrow has legitimized Cincinnati to where you're not just walking over them now like you have in the past. Kind of like Kyler and Carson and those guys did to the Cardinals, where otherwise you just walked over the Cardinals. But every once in a while you didn't. And so I feel like that's the case with Cincinnati. That is a really bad loss if you're the Vikings.
It is, especially in an opportunity where Green Bay just got throttled by the Saints.
Yeah, maybe it's not as bad of a loss, actually.
It's not as bad as it would have been, but it was an opportunity for them to take a step forward. Everyone in the NFC North lost. So on that side, it's not a good one, but you said it right there with fun and Joe Burrow. He's as likable and as fun of a player in this league, and for him at the quarterback position with some weapons. I mean, he did take 5 sacks in that game, so they do got to
know that.
Continue to protect him. But when he's on the field with some weapons around him, he's going to be fun to watch, and he's probably going to beat the Bears this weekend.
Speaking of the NFC North, the Niners beat the Lions 41-33. This was a 41-18 game with a few minutes left. And the Lions scored, got an onside kick, scored, got a fumble, and then had a chance to tie the game, but didn't. Niners hang on to win. Bad beat if you had the 8.5 or the 9.5 on the Niners.
Yikes.
Because they win by 8, 41-33.
I'll say it was more of just a fluky kind of ending. I mean, who gets onside kicks anymore? Who recovers those? The rules now are almost impossible because they don't want guys lasering into people. So that was just kind of more of a break. And then, of course, you fumble the ball. I'm not looking at this game and trying to find anything wrong with the Niners. I think the Lions are who they are. Feel bad for that organization as well because they never win. And I think the Niners will be fine. I said the Rams are the best team in that division. And people that think the Niners are wrong, and I'll apologize at the end of the year if I say... But I just, the Rams, you know why? Because their coach is the best coach. And I like Kyle Shanahan. But Sean McVay is the best coach in that division.
I agree with that.
Full of 3 really good coaches. I'm still waiting on Cliff. I'll see. I mean, if they continue to do what they did last week, then I'll have to throw him in there. But
you're happy right now.
I'm happy.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm smiling.
Not too many takeaways from the Niners Lions. Yeah. I think it was kind of just that John Gross fake rally at the end and had us.
Can I tell you something? You and hey, Trevor, you're going to get a kick out of this. So I look back at I got on Facebook today, and it was a Facebook memory. You know how you get these? And all it was, you can tell I'm just learning Facebook. This was 2013, and my post was, it was basically a Twitter post saying, Big Cliff is coming to town. I'm excited to do the show. And I think I said something like, I'll try not to run the show off the tracks. And I included Jeremy because it was the Tay and Jay days. And in one of the responses, Jeremy even said, I told you, go ahead and run it off the tracks if he comes. And then there were all these, like there was one person that responded and said, maybe we finally have the coach we need in John Gross. It was just funny going back and reading. Like one guy was like, this is going to lead us now to a national, we could be going up to a national title.
And man.
It was just funny to read that. And of course, Cliff doesn't even come. I just thought, I saw that when you said, I thought of that when you said John Gross.
That's shout out to John.
Johnny.
He had a good year one.
He did. He did. John, what happened from year two on?
Next question.
Oh.
Yeah.
This was not a fake rally. It was a real one. The Steelers were down 10-6 late in the third quarter, then scored 17 in the fourth and beat the Bills in Buffalo 23-16.
I don't even know how to explain this. I think it was Rick in Leroy who's really been angry lately. Rick, you've been angry lately. I've been worrying about you lately. But I think you said the Steelers will not lose to the Bills. And you were right. They did not lose to the Bills. If you're the Bills, listen, that is a team. I know last year they played really well. And that is a team thinking Super Bowl. And then you go out week one. The Steelers are good. Don't get me wrong. They're a good football team. They're never bad. We've gone over that hundreds of times on the show that in my lifetime, I think they've missed the playoffs three times. But if you're Buffalo and you come into the season thinking, you know, this is Super Bowl or bust, and then you go out and that happens when you were up 10-0 in that game, that's got to put some pause a little bit to a Bills fan. But listen, the Bills are fine. They're still going to win 11 or 12 games. And the Steelers, I mean, if you're Cleveland, you're sitting there going, really?
Right.
Really? I mean, if you're Cleveland wanting to win that division, you're looking at that schedule going, well, we're going to be one game up at least after week one. And you're not.
Well, see, similar narrative with Cleveland who blew the game in Kansas City.
Exactly.
And I think both of those teams are going to really regret the fact that they lost both of those opportunities.
Because great point.
While Buffalo is most likely going to run through and win that AFC East, even with Miami looking pretty decent, and they do have some talent. Playoffs, home field advantage is so important.
Big.
And dropping a game like that when you let the Chiefs start 1-0 and just kind of get that step up on you is going to be something that you probably are going to ultimately regret. So that was bad, and somehow the Steelers won, even though Ben Roethlisberger is certifiably washed. Like, he is
done.
Yeah,
he's done. How did Najee Harris do in that?
Not as well. Quiet game. 16 carries, 45 yards on the ground.
Okay. I know they probably got all the receivers. What did Ben throw for?
188.
Wow.
Next question.
That's not what I meant to hit.
Are you playing next question now?
Sorry, John. John Gross just hanging around. You can tell he's not a Steelers fan either.
Seahawks 28, Colts 16, kind of a snooze fest.
Dang it!
On the overall slate of the early games.
That's
Russell Wilson.
Every Colts game, isn't
did
it?
Did throw for four touchdowns. Wentz looked okay.
Yeah.
Seahawks win by 12.
I called it Friday, I thought that Indy would win this game. I really felt like they could beat Seattle, but this just shows me that Seattle is not dead yet. I keep expecting them to be bad, finally. But when you have Russell Wilson, it is now obvious to me that you're never going to be bad. And I have to give Pete Carroll credit as well. I think this was a game that Indy, is looking at like, all right, we're getting there. We've got our quarterback. I think we should be okay to win this game. And then Seattle comes in. That NFC West is ridiculous.
It really is. You called that before the year, and it played out in week one for sure. I think we're going to see it throughout the season. I boiled this down to having Russell Wilson against Carson Wentz.
You did.
That would be the biggest difference, and it was.
You did.
Wilson, four touchdowns, the long bomb to Tyler Lockett. That's a guy that doesn't get enough credit.
No.
In terms of how good he is.
You know, Keenan Allen and Tyler Lockett.
It's a good call.
Guys that every year in the draft, in the fantasy draft, I'm like, eh, I don't want those guys.
Right.
And then every year they just perform.
In any game, if you can hold Jonathan Taylor to 56 yards on the ground, the Colts are probably going to be in trouble.
Is a running back even going to be a part of football in 5 years?
I mean, like the top seven picks in the draft are running backs.
Yeah,
fantasy-wise.
I know. And should they be?
I mean, if they're catching the ball, yes. If
right,
it's like a points
right
per reception league, because then they're getting you a ton of different.
It's amazing, though, if you looked at my league, like Jalen Hurts, who was probably selected in the fifth round of our league, scored more points than any running back in our league.
Well, he's a quarterback.
Well, that's what I mean. I just mean, like, but the. And I get it. I mean,
Jameis Winston scored more points than anybody this week, and I'm pretty sure nobody had him on their team.
Well, not fantasy-wise.
Yeah,
he only threw for, like, what, 150? But you're right. I mean, it's just
rare to have the workhorse running back.
Yes.
Especially after injuries factor in, and then you got the split backfields. If you can have a guy who's going to run for a bunch, then catch it out of the backfield like a Dalvin Cook, that's going to be really valuable.
Or an Austin Eckler who didn't have one target. Hello.
That was weird.
San Diego, it's Lon.
They're not there.
That's why they're not answering.
Oh, that's right. I'm calling the wrong number.
Speaking of which, they did beat the Washington football team.
That was such a Lon moment.
20-16. Herbert led a game-winning drive, had 330 yards.
I like San Diego. I think they're better than we think in that West. Unfortunately, guess what? You've got Kansas City. And shout out to Lindy and the Raiders getting it done last night. Shout out to the Raiders.
Absolutely.
So are there 3-0 teams in the West?
AFC West is all undefeated, too.
So the AFC and NFC West teams are 8-0.
Yes.
Wow.
And the
powers
NFC
West.
North and South teams are 1-7.
They're playing some good football, y'all, out West.
Expected a few more points. I guess there are good defenses. Washington.
Yeah, yes.
Good defense. Chargers, solid defense. Fitzpatrick getting hurt is significant injury for them.
I agree.
That's a big loss, but Chargers on the road getting it done.
If you're a Washington fan, are you thinking, can we ever have a quarterback stay healthy? Even Joe Theismann back in the day.
RG3.
Oh, yeah.
Panthers 19, Jets 14. Darnold and the defense lead them to a revenge game. Good call, Derek, on Robbie Anderson.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
He gets
I think
a
it's
touchdown.
One catch of the day.
Yeah, well, still hit.
Yep. Can I say myself, I made a fantasy day decision to put Carolina's. I picked up their defense and threw them in against the Jets. It helped. I think Carolina's defense is pretty good. How did McCaffrey do in that game?
He had 180 yards of total offense.
Of course he did. That guy.
9 catches for 89,
oh,
and then he ran
goodness.
For 98 yards.
He's a machine. He is a fantasy football machine. Carolina should win that game, and they did.
Thought it'd be by a little bit of a bigger margin.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Business as usual.
Yeah. Right.
Just losing, that is.
Lovie Smith, 37. Urban Ooh. Meyer, 21.
Boy, if you're Jacksonville, did you think maybe this was the game you could win?
Yes.
I mean, good luck. Urban Meyer's going to be USC's coach tomorrow. And he's going to claim that he was stressed out in Jacksonville. Welcome to the NFL, Urban. I think he's had a few welcome to the NFL moments already. This one had to have slapped him in the face. He had to have been on that plane back, or was that in Jacksonville?
In Houston.
He would have had to have been on the plane back going, oh, crap, we're not going to win at all.
I think he's got to be feeling that. And in front of the show, Brad Evans has been a staunch supporter of Urban's not going to make it through this season.
Wow.
Whether he's going to walk away or the Jags are going to say, we don't want you anymore.
Wow.
I don't know. That's very interesting.
And Houston's not very good, so don't go.
No.
Don't go.
Well, if this was 10 years ago and they had Mark Ingram and David Johnson as their two backs, which they do, maybe not 10, maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah, yeah. That AFC South, man, put me in that division every year. Every year.
I told you guys I didn't think Tyrod Taylor, Brandon Cooks, and Mark Ingram were going to be as awful as people thought it would be.
You called it.
You did say that.
You called it.
Chiefs 33, Browns 29, a blocked punt, and a good fourth quarter, and the Chiefs win.
I mean, the best teams just do this. right? They do this. The Steelers, the Chiefs, they just do this. And Patrick Mahomes is that guy. That's a tough loss for Cleveland. You had that game.
It is pretty much as simple as that. Like, that's what the Chiefs do. Mm-hmm. But the Browns choked it.
They did. They totally did.
They were in the position to be controlling the game, which credit to them. And I still like that football team a lot. But, like, the punter, he dropped the snap, right, and then decides to – did he punt it or did he just get tackled? I don't know which ultimately happened.
I was driving.
I think he was tackled.
They let Mahomes just throw up a prayer to Tyreek Hill, and the safety totally just misplays. It's a 75-yard touchdown. They fell apart in that game, yep. But
Nick still like Chubb, man. A lot. Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Three TDs?
Two on the ground. Do you have one through the air?
Maybe two.
Just two.
Two, okay.
Dolphins 17, Patriots 16.
Called it.
The Mac Jones debut.
Yeah.
I did call that, believe it or not. I won't tell you about the 10 I got wrong. Listen, this Dolphins team surprised me last year. I think they're going to be a tough team to play every week. Who do they have this week? They've got
the Bills.
The Bills. That's right.
It's a big game.
Woo! How about the Bills starting out with the Steelers and Dolphins? You should be the favorite in those.
Like, we would have played Thursday night against the Giants if you asked us to.
In a heartbeat. Hey, good win for Miami. That's what I'll say to that.
It is.
Mac Jones
good defense. Mac Jones is going to be good for them. Yes. It's going to take some time. They need more weapons. Yep. That's why I like Miami.
Yep.
Broncos win by 14 over the Giants. I don't think anyone on earth was watching that game. Daniel Jones fumbled. That's all I can add there.
I don't. Yeah.
Saints 38, Packers 3.
What happened there? I mean, we were driving home, and I'm like, Andrew, can you pull up some NFL scores? Because I was trying to find a station on the old terrestrial radio. And he goes, holy cow. He's like, Dad, the Saints are up like 38-3 on the Packers. I'm like, what?
If I would have told you going into that game that one quarterback's QBR would be 92 and the others would be 13, you'd have been like, yeah, sounds about right. Jameis was terrible.
How did I not bet that?
Aaron Rodgers, he did things that I had never seen as far as the mistakes he was making. One throw where he overthrew his receiver by 15 yards and the safety just caught it like
a punt. Wow.
Like, it was crazy.
He had 15 completions and 2 interceptions.
He did. Their O-line has problems with Bakhtiari being out, and the Saints exploited that. But
you know what? We got to go.
Okay. I saved the only two for last, which was Cardinals, Titans, and Bears, Rams.
Yeah, we talked enough. Yeah, we talked enough about Cardinals. Bears real quick.
They stink.
It's time for...
Their secondary is pathetic. Eddie Jackson, what he's turned into, is just really... really, really depressing.
I don't know why people were saying that it got worse throughout the game. It actually got better because they remembered you had to touch somebody after they catch the ball. So it was really all up from there.
Hey, are you worried that... Not worried, you'd be happy, but Aaron Rodgers bounces back from that, doesn't he?
Is Detroit at home on Monday night. They will
never mind.
Throttle them.
I couldn't have picked a better day to have an opponent going with Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. The only thing better would have been an opponent going with Aaron against Aaron.
Once he cuts the man bun, he'll be back to normal.
Yeah, I was going to say, he'll be good to go. Trevor, thanks. He's already left the building. Trevor's like gone.
See ya.
He's out. All right, Cardinal baseball next.
Sounds good.
Who's on the hill?
I don't know.
It's Woodford. Woodford against who? Marco Strump. Who am I trying to say?
Efforting.
Marcus Stroman.
Marcus Stroman.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. We got to go.
Okay.
It's the drive. See you.